Well, Brother Moore doesn't need any introduction. He's just one of us here at Fairview Memorial, and we're thankful for him and appreciate him being here tonight and the times that he visits our services. And I'm just going to ask you to pray for him and turn the service over to him.
Well, it's my blessing to be able to be here tonight, and y'all don't really know how much that is. And yeah, thank y'all for your prayers, your support in every way, and like I said the other night, don't give up on me. Still got a while to go to, but my goal is out there, you know. And it's the prayers of everybody's been praying for me helps me look forward. See, and that's the thing. We need to look not what I can't do, but what I'm gonna do. And I've got revival scheduled as far away as Arkansas and some closer. And I'm not used to these things being mic'd up. Now I know how them football players feel. But anyway, as I was saying, I was laying in there, and if you spoke and had the right tone of voice, I could hear you just a little bit out of my left ear. But then, not being able to hear hardly anything, I heard inside my head, and a lot of people looks at me funny when I say this, but some of the most beautiful singing of Amazing Grace I ever heard of congregational singing. And it would just sing over and over. And then thank God I'm free. And you know, I'd hear that from time to time. And it would just, the Lord would just bring that in. And at one time, everything was going so bad that hearing that voice is, I said, I'm just wondering if I'm just hearing something from heaven saying, am I going to hear that saying, say, come on home? But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't. You know, we all got a time, and I'm glad the Lord let me stay around. He got everything back to as normal as it could be, and I got out, and so I've been singing a few places, but I just want y'all to pray for me tonight. Got a few songs I'll try to sing. Then I'll get to the message. I will tell you this. I was laying there right before my day to come home, and they told me, they said, well, we're going to leave you hooked up and send you back to a normal room, because I was in the intensive care unit, and I guess they was glad I was gone from there because I couldn't hear, so I was hollering at everybody. And I didn't know that. I just thought I was speaking regular tone, and they told me they could hear me everywhere. And I could say hello, and everybody won't say hello back because it sounded like I was right with them, you know. But I was laying there getting ready to come home, and about 5:30 in the morning, I picked up my Bible, and I started reading, and got over in James and started reading a little bit. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, a series of simple sermons. And he started giving them to me, and I just started writing down the subjects that he gave me. And I got just plumb happy laying there in the bed, and all at once my monitor went off on my blood pressure. And it went up to 180 over 80 something. And the little nurse, she was one of them that didn't know me too good. And she come in, she said, I'm sorry, we just probably won't let you go home today. We know you're supposed to. she said, until this blood pressure gets regulated. And I said, ma'am, you don't understand. I said, this body just couldn't handle what the spirit, I said, just felt. And I said, but I'll be all right. She said, well, you got, I said, I'll try to calm down. And so got calmed down, and she said, well, I'm going to call your doctor. And she said, who's your doctor? She looked on as a Dr. Collins, and probably about 2 hours later, she come in. She said, doctor said you could go home. And thank the Lord for that. I got to go home, and just things that God has shown through my leg surgeries. Through that, I can't say it's been a bad thing. I can't. I've seen God. I ain't got time to sit here and tell y'all everything that went on. But I can tell you this, that once they brought my guitar up there and I started playing and singing and everything, and God just, I saw the movement of the Lord and the Spirit and different people and at the rehabs and at the hospitals and what I felt when I was singing. My brother would come up and bring his guitar and we'd play and sing and we'd just have a good time there. And you know what? Even though you're in the lowest valley, God can put you on the highest hill. And see, that's why He's a God on the mountain, and He's also the God in the valley. And sometimes we forget. You know, sometimes we forget on the mountaintop who God is, because it seems like we ride there so much. But I'm going to try to sing a few songs, then I'll get in my message. God gave His Son for me upon my Calvary. He shed His precious blood to save my soul, and I never could repay the sacrifice He made. But with my life I'll pay the debt I owe. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, perfect will. In the valleys I must cross to do Thy will, O God. Then I'll walk them, Lord, climb the highest. I hear the Master say, lift up your eyes today. It's time to reap the golden harvest grain. And there's work for you to do. My strength I give to you. There are millions who have never heard my name. I'm willing, Lord, to go. I'm willing, Lord, to stay. I'm ready, perfect will. And in the valleys I must cross to do Thy will, O God. Then I'll walk them, Lord, behind the highest hill. Then I'll walk, I'm the highest hill. here, my burden's heavy, and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my faith is weary, and so sore. A brighter day is coming, soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. Someday when life is over, and I've said my last goodbye, I'll see my Savior standing at the door. All your cares are left behind, and I won't have to worry anymore. If you know it, help me. No, I won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over, and I'll rest forevermore. My eyes will be on Jesus, and my heart will be aglow, and I won't have to worry anymore. No, I won't have to worry anymore. I'm gonna hold off there for a minute. I may sing another two after a while, but anytime the Lord wants y'all to do anything in this service, I want you to be able to feel free and follow the Lord. Amen. You know, I know it's a practice of this church, and I just want you to be able to know that. Because, see, my family was going to sing at a church, and my sister, evidently, they'd heard about us. Because my sister got this phone call from a member of the church, and he looked at her and phone call, and he looked and he said, "You sang for an hour and 15 minutes and don't testify at all." Well, I told my family this. I said, "That hour and 15 minutes belongs to God." And I believe that. I believe when God opens up the door, I mean, He holds every one of our lives in His hand. And when we go to do something for the Lord, then we're responsible to God. And you know, the Bible teaches me if you go and they don't hear you, just dust off feet and go on. And I told them, I said, after two or three songs, I said, "If God wants you to tell about your experience, you go right ahead and do that." I said, "Don't do it without the Spirit of the Lord." See, I believe the Spirit of the Lord needs to lead and guide. And that's something I do believe. And I told them, I said, "You just follow the Lord. Because I believe that sometimes we've only got one chance. That's like at Waffle House and Wendy's and different places that I go. I've got one chance. And sometimes if I miss that one chance, then it's going to be my fault because I missed that one chance, not nobody else's, because God put that chance there. And so that's what we got to do a lot of times. We got to remember, sometimes we got one chance. I'll never forget, I was Pastor Mount Vernon one time, and Sister Klein was there, and just her and I. We was there, and we was fixing to have Wednesday night Bible study. The door opened, the guy come in and said, "Can I worship with y'all tonight?" I said, "Sure you can." He come in there, and we had service, and the Lord just kind of blessed us and left. And I looked at her. When he left, I looked at her, and I said, "That's why we're here. That's why we're here. These lights are open for that one that may come out of the street." Although it was only two, and most people said, "Let's close the doors, let's not go in there." But then where would he have went? Would he have went somewhere where he could found the truth, or would he have just given up? And see, and that's what we got to look at. No matter if there's one or two here tonight, or if it's 50-something or whatever it is here tonight, every one of us is obligated to follow the Spirit of God if He leads. So we need to remember that tonight. And I'd like for you to just take and listen tonight. And I got a few words from the Lord, and y'all pray for me. And we're gonna be coming out of the 17th chapter of Matthew. In the 17th verse, well, the one thing that I was talking about a while ago about the Lord looking at me and giving me a thought on a series of simple sermons. All of y'all know me that's all I can do anyway. It's just simple preaching. And I've always told everybody that the Lord knows He don't have much to work with. And that's why He's got to make it simple to me. But simple words is easy to understand. My daddy looked at me and said, "Boy, don't you do that. I'm going to spank you." That was simple and straight to the point. Because I knew if I done it, I was going to get a spanking. And the Lord's the same way. When I first went in the hospital, I knew I was going to lose my leg. I just knew that. I've known it for a while. But when I was laying there, I said, "Lord, I really don't want to lose my leg." And you know what He told me? "Why not you?" I don't know how about y'all, but I don't know about any of y'all, but I know one thing. The Lord talks to me. And He talks to me just like I'm talking to you. There's a lot of people might think I'm a little crazy sometime. I'm driving down the road or riding down the road, and I'm just talking away, and ain't nobody in there with me that they can see. But there is somebody in there with me. The Lord's in there. And He can just talk to you. And He gets real plain to me. Like He looked at me and He said, "Why not you?" In other words, why am I so good that I don't have to lose my leg? You know? I mean, it's just a big old pity party that Junior wanted to have right then, but the Lord wouldn't let it. You know, and that's the thing. And everybody's prayers just wiped it all out. So we're just going from here, let's read from 17th verse. He said, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? And bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came his disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief.
For verily I say unto you, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, and you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence and yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, that this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So we find out the disciples, they couldn't do it because the Bible said that Jesus said, he said it was because of your unbelief. Maybe if I asked today. And again, I want to talk about faith just a little while today. And it's simple. As I was thinking about this, I guess what got my blood pressure up so high is that when the Lord started giving me those different sermons, and he started letting me remember of old preachers that I used to hear just by the gift of the Holy Spirit just to hammer down on those sermons and just leave them laying. That's the way they used to do, isn't it? They used to just hammer down on them, and then they'd let them lay. I would like to have some water if that'd be all right. And so he said that Jesus looked at him here. He said, because of your unbelief, for I verily say unto you, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, and some people wants to say that's little bitty, but I want to say that it's pure faith. That's something we got to have, you know. And where did we account our first way to have faith? And I believe the Bible said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe that repentance and faith is inseparable graces. I believe that. And I believe that if a person wants to be saved, I believe that they have to go to the extent of their faith. Every bit of belief that they have within them. And then by the grace of God, that unmerited favor, that God takes that unmerited favor and by grace, and he grants that person the grace to be able to believe in the salvation. We can't do it by ourselves. We just cannot do it. And thank you, brother. We can't do it by ourselves. You know, I tried and I tried and I tried. No matter how hard that I tried. And every time that I tried to believe on the Lord and the salvation, every time that I tried in my mind, again, the Bible says that the carnal mind is an enmity or an enemy against God. And just because you think you're saved, don't think that carnal mind still is not an enemy against God, and it is. Now, every time that I'd bow on that altar, and I went for 3 years, and I'd pray and I'd pray and I'd pray, and I'd beg and I'd beg and I'd beg, but every time within them 3 years, sometime or another, I get to thinking, well, you're a good little boy. Why do you have to go to hell? See, he had me believing I was a good little boy. There's a lot of good little boys and girls and men and women and grandma and grandpas in hell right today. They were good according to man's standard as being good. But see, I wasn't going to hell because I was bad. I was going to hell because of that Adamic sin of unbelief. That's how come I was going to hell. And I tell you what, one night when I was 16 years old, I was laying in bed, and I shut my eyes, and I saw flames. God was showing me that hell was real. He showed me hell was mine, that I wasn't too good to go to hell. That next night, I went to that altar and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And I want us to understand something. Not too long ago, I preached a sermon, and the name of that sermon was The Number One Terrorist. The devil is the number one terrorist. You know what a terrorist will do? He'll move right in your neighborhood, right close to you. He'll become your best friend, all the time planning on blowing you up, all the time planning on killing somebody. But to you, he's just one of your best friends. Isn't that the way Satan is? He'll come and he'll try to get just as close to us as he can get. And he'll just lure us wherever that we want to go. He wants us to go because of the mind. He does that in the mind. Well, the night the Lord saved me, I was begging, I was pleading, and I was promising the Lord, and I believed in the Lord. And there's one thing that stuck with me that those old people told me, and they said, Junior, you got to want salvation more than anything else in this world. You know, that's a tall order to a young boy, isn't it? It's a tall order to a lot of people. That's just like my uncle. He's dying right now with cancer. They don't give him any time. And he's the one that played the harmonica in the group that was here. And he played the harmonica for us. And he told Brother Joy, went and seen him the other day, and he said, Brother Joy, you know what was holding me back? He said, fishing. He said, I didn't want to give up fishing. And he didn't. He would stay at the lake. Every time he wasn't at work, he was at the lake. But you know what? The Lord got a hold of him so bad, he was willing to give up fishing. See, and that's the thing. I gave up the part about knowing that I was a good little boy and realized I wasn't. When I was praying, I was begging and begging, and all at once that pain went away and peace came in. There'd been about four or five saved that day and that night, and they was a shouting, and the old devil, there he is, that number one terrorist. You didn't get saved because you didn't shout. 3 months later, I was at Franklin Simpson High School. We had scripture reading, and then after scripture reading, he would have silent prayer. And I laid my head over at desk that day, and I said, Lord, if you save me back yonder, will you let me know? And boy, that spirit started bubbling up in my soul right then, and I didn't have no problem. I never doubted it since. It was so real. And that day, it was real the day he saved me, but the devil come on the scene so quick, and he's good at that. But see, that's the thing. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. See, if it had been of me, I could have done lost it, couldn't I? But you can't lose it. You can't lose it because, see, we got a God that can't lie. The Bible says he can't lie, and he promised me everlasting life when he saved my soul. And he gave it to me. And see, and that's because that's when I learned how good that faith was. To be able to go to the extent of my faith and then him granting me the faith to believe. And I'm glad of that. But see, these disciples, they were his disciples. They were the 12. But he said, because of your unbelief. Now, when I look at this, the scriptures, a lot of times I want us to understand something. It's real easy to look at the scripture and understand the historical side of it. Anybody can do that. I don't care who they are. If they've got a mind that is able to work right, they can understand the historical side of it. But see, this goes deeper than just the historical side. See, there's also a spiritual side of the Scripture. And in the Bible, what we got to realize a lot of times, just like the Old Testament, when we watch Israel and the troubles that they went down through, if we'll look at our churches today, our churches is going through the same thing that Israel went through. And King Saul, that God didn't want to give him to them, but they wanted one, and he let them have it. But the thing about it is, that shows us what can happen when the wrong king gets in. Same thing when the wrong pastor gets in the church. See, we can take the Old Testament and we can look at that, and through the spiritual inside of it, God can show us a lot of things about today that was back then that we can apply to our lives today as being church members. Because, see, I believe by my heart we're spiritual Israel. I believe that. We're spiritual Israel. And I believe that this United States that we're in, And people, let me tell you something. She's going down quick spiritually. Because why? Because our faith is getting weak. The Lord looked at the disciples many times. He said, "Oh, ye a little faith." And now he says, "Because of your unbelief." We need to look at that and knowing that he speaks to us today the same way. And let's look and see where our faith is today. The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible. And you hear people today say, "Well, Brother Chuck, Junior, I just can't have faith." Yes, you can. You had it to the point of salvation. So you've got it. See, don't let the devil lie to you. The devil will lie to us, and that's just the way that he is. The Bible says he's a liar and the father of all lies. In Romans, in the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, and so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And see, we need preachers that's willing to preach the word of God. And we need them to preach it in such a way that they preach it by the Holy Spirit and let it lay so we can take home with us. I like to use a good sermon a lot of times the same way that an old cow does. An old cow, she'll be out there and she'll eat that grass. And then later on she'll cough it up and she'll chew it up some more. She'll swallow it again. She'll cough it up and she'll chew it up some more. And it'll just go from stomach to stomach to stomach and that away. But every time that she does that, it helps her. I think a sermon ought to be like that. I believe that we need to be able to pray for our pastors and pray for our preachers that they'll carry the God within the pulpit with them and that they'll have faith to stand up and say what God wants them to say. And we ought to be willing to take what God says and not do like one little old lady. I preached this one church. She says, "Reverend, if they had been here, they would have got it." How many times that we, after the preacher gets done, "Well, if they had been here, they would have got it." He wasn't preaching to them. Indirectly, they can get hear the message if you take it the right way and take it to them. But it's meant for us that are here today. See, this thing about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, and that substance means the most essential part. So it being the most essential part, then if it says that it's impossible to please him without faith, so what have we got to do? That means if we say that we don't have any faith, then that means that we can't please God, right? Let's just look at it like it is. We cannot please God unless we're willing to have faith. Say, "Brother Junior, what do you mean?" When you're out talking to somebody or you're on the phone and God lays something on your heart to say to them, just say it. Don't say, "I can't." I know so many people, they say that their families is the worst and the hardest ones for them to be able to talk to. But I want you to know one thing, if we carry God with us, and that's what we got to do, we got to carry God with us. Every day of our lives, we have to carry God if we want people to be able to hear about Jesus. This poll thing is really getting to me. It's getting to me just like it was when I heard that 70% of people that claim to be children of God will go into college, 70% of them drops out of church. That's another poll that I heard last year. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. It don't bother me that our children goes to college, but it bothers me that we haven't grounded them enough that they can be able to pray to God, and that we're not praying them God enough, and that our preachers are not preaching where that God can be able to reach them. I was talking to a man the other day. Talking to a brother the other day, and as I was talking to him about different things, he said, Junior, what are we going to do about those people that they get good jobs and they go to college and get good jobs and they move away and there's no church there? I said, there's a way to take care of that. He said, how's that? I said, we got preachers all over the place in our churches. I said, get a hold of those people. I said, they're your church members, get a hold of them. I said, ask them, do they want somebody to come up and hold a revival where they're at? Maybe they'll say yes. And if they say yes, I know. I've got some preaching brethren that in the last few years that when the Lord's got me in evangelist work and going here and there, I've got some preaching brethren that's willing to go anywhere and preach revivals. I believe that. There's some of them you can't get off the seat. They'll answer before God on that. But I want you to know one thing. I believe that we need to get a hold of everybody that we can get a hold of when they move away. Let's stay in contact with them. If you have to send tapes or CDs of your pastor's sermons or different ones, send them there. Get the Word of God wherever way you can. We need to get this Word out. That's why I love about the old-fashioned gospel hour, where anybody in the world can be able to grab it. And that's another thing that shows me something. The Bible said that this gospel shall be published into all nations, and then when the end will come. How close do you think we are to the end? That's another thing the devil's got us blinded on. Oh, this has got to happen, that's got to happen, that's got to happen, that's got to happen. Oh, it's not going to happen for 50 more years. The Bible said He spoke this world in existence. He don't have to have a time limit of what He has to do. It can happen pretty fast. But see, we've got our mind, again, we've got our mind set out yonder. If I ask you truly, and don't answer me, but if I ask you truly, do you believe the Lord could really come tomorrow? Some people may say yes, but with an honest heart, do you really believe that He could? Now think, if He did, what would you be doing today? This church would probably be full, wouldn't it? We've got a lot of lost people that's still on their way to hell. God has made them us responsible for them. That's the problem with the world today. That's a problem with our churches today. We don't want the responsibility to be on us, so we put it on the preacher a lot of times. And we put it on the deacons a lot of times. But I want you to know every one of us has got a work to do. But Jerry, I just can't do it. My granddad told me years ago, can't never did do nothing. The Bible says, and teaches us, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. Why can't we ask God to strengthen us today? Why can't we ask Him to show us our weaknesses so we can ask Him to strengthen us? Why can't we have faith in Him that we'll move when He says move? Why can't we go visit those that are lost and talk to them and tell them to come in that they might hear about a Jesus? See, 60%, 67% of Bowling Green don't believe that Jesus is God's Son. And what am I doing about it? Not enough. What are you doing about it? Not enough. Let's lay it right down where it is. let's do as a practice that I have a lot of times. I remember coming home from work, and I just didn't like my personality that day. I looked in the mirror when I got home, and I said, God, will you show me what you've seen in me today? And you know, when I looked in that mirror, you know who I seen? I didn't see Brother Miller. I didn't see Brother Buddy. I didn't see Brother Wheat. I saw Junior Moore. Because I asked him, I said, God, show me what you've seen in me today. My next move was right on the couch saying, I'm sorry. That's another thing that we don't do anymore. Why is there so much trouble between the husbands, the wives, the children, and the churches? It's because if we don't tell God we're sorry, we're not going to tell nobody else around us we are. Junior, I can't. The Bible says you can. See, that's the thing. Don't look and say, I can't. What did I say? God can't lie. You can. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens. All we got to do is have faith. All we got to do. All we got to do is just remember the condition that we was in when we was lost. And who did we put all our trust in? He don't require any less of us today than he did the day that we were begging him to save our soul. He quite requires us to put just as much faith, which we can put more faith now in him than what we could then, because we have his faith that he gave us. People, this thing bothered me. 60% of the voters in that thing, again, you might get tired of me saying that, but that bothers me. I took a poll today and I gave everybody a piece of paper and I said, do you love Jesus? I'd say every one of you probably say yes. By the authority of God, let's prove it. Amen. Not to Junior, but let's prove it to God. I had a lot of time to think since I've been in the hospital. I had a lot of time to pray. I ain't got no giving up place. I was laying in bed 3:30 this morning. And I was thinking, and Lord's willing, and just a little while I'll be able to do this. Get a recorder. Not only a recorder, but get something that I can make CDs with, multiple CDs, and send them to the library. And get them where that I can send them from place to place. And as many as trips, when I go on trips, you know, you always see these CDs laying at these truck stops. I want to leave a few. Told the other day, Brother Phil Mayo, I was talking to him. I said, Brother Phil, I said, I need to tell you something. I said, pray about getting you some CDs and leaving them at those truck stops. I don't know about you, but when I see one laying there, I'm going to pick it up. I want to see what that guy believes. Maybe somebody pick up one of ours. See, that's the thing about it. You don't even have to be there, but you can get the word out. what is one of the greatest weapons that we have today? And it takes faith to do this. And that's your testimony. See, I believe we need to have a spirit-filled testimony. Not just a dry-eyed thought about a few words that might sound good, but something where that God just digs deep down into that soul. He starts eating and eating and eating and eating till you get up and just say what God's got on your heart. We don't hear them kind like we used to. Why? As Jesus said, hold we a little faith. Oh, we a little faith. Faith. It sounds so simple, don't it? Maybe it's so simple we just forget about it. And maybe we just try to do it on our own. People, we can't. So, well, Brother Junior, why are you saying this? I'm going to tell you. The main reason I'm saying that's what God wants me to say tonight. But I'm going to tell you what happened to me when I was 13 years old. See, I got deceived. Yeah, I was one of those that went to church and the preacher said, everybody shut your eyes and stand up and shut your eyes. And if you want to come up front, be saved, come up front. And I walked up there and he looked at me and he said, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you accept him as your personal Savior? I said, yes, sir. He said, what a wonderful profession. Everybody open your eyes. My daddy and mama was out of church. Daddy could out cuss a sailor. Y'all wouldn't think about that, my daddy, right now, would you? You wouldn't. But he could back then. He was out of the will of God. You might say, well, Brother Junior, I don't cuss. No, if you sit back there and don't do what the Lord wants you to do, you're sinning right in church. The Bible said to know to do good and do it to not, to him it is a sin. See, we have to realize what sin is a lot of times. We think it's these people out here murdering each other. We think it's people out molesting children. We think it's those people that's out doing everything else, the robbers and all this stuff. We think well, them sin shouldn't do that. We shouldn't fail God. Especially right in the house of God. Can you remember the time when the Lord get a hold of an old sister, old brother, and they'd get up and they'd start testimony and the tears just a-rolling and God would just be all over them and all at once it just jumped on somebody else? Wouldn't we like to see those more often? We can. We can. See, when I went home and I told my mom and daddy what happened to me that night, they looked at me and they said, I didn't get saved like that. They went back to that place with us and then that next Saturday they said, we're going to church where we belong. They knew their children had done got deceived. Amen. Let me ask you this much. How many of you have got children that's going to these churches where the pastor just tells people they're saved? How many of you got grandchildren that goes to these churches? Have you ever prayed and asked God to help you bring those grandchildren to church during your revivals? You said, Brother Junior, I can't. There you go again. I can do all things. What's the key to it? Pray! I mean, just get down and agonize with God over them. How many times in the Old Testament did he use an evil king to help Israel? He can reach those people that you don't think he can reach. And you say, how do you know? Years ago, God told me, he said, you get Nathan to come to this revival. And that was my nephew. said, you get him to come to this revival. I said, Lord, they might not let him. See, I'm just like you. He said, you get him to come. I called and they said, well, let him come from Sunday night to Wednesday night. But we're coming Wednesday night and he's going. He's going home. He was on the altar Sunday night. He was on the altar Monday night. He was on the altar Tuesday night. And Wednesday night, they come after him and he looked at them. You know what he told them? Now, this is a lost person. He looked at them and he said, I'm not leaving till I get saved. Lord got a hold of him. He prayed in five different places that night. The children, New Harmony's full of children. They are now and they was then. And they would, when somebody get lost, I mean, they would just hover around them and they would pray for them wherever they went. I'm going to say this way, and it ain't going to sound good, but I'm going to say it anyway. Nowadays, you probably couldn't offer people $5 a piece to come to the altar and stay until that sinner left. We got too much of a custom of sitting back. We need to fill these altars with people on their knees begging and pleading with God to save these lost souls. I walked in that church, that little old church. It probably didn't have 10 people in it that day. Well, then people started testifying, and I felt something that I didn't know what it was. I'd never felt that before the first time I walked in New Harmony. That old preacher preached hell, and he preached it hot. And when he gave an invitation, I walked up to him. I said, I want to accept the Lord, get Jesus in my heart. He said, boy, you don't get it that way. And he was serious. That was when I first started praying. But 3 years later, I did get saved, and I thank the Lord for that. Them little old sisters of church, they would get up and said, pray for Junior back yonder. He's lost. He's on his way to hell. Always scared to ask somebody to pray for one of our lost people, afraid their parents would get mad. If we are, they need to be down here. Amen. Going back to Nathan. He prayed and prayed and prayed a lot of places that night, and he told him he wasn't leaving until the Lord saved him. He come up to me and my face was facing the wall and his was facing the congregation. He grabbed me and he looked at me with the saddest face. And I said, Nathan, I can't help you. I said, you got to take this to Jesus. He squares me real hard and all at once he just got just as loose. He looked at me and he said, Uncle Junior, he said, is that, it's all gone. He said, am I saved? I told him, I said, Nathan, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you whether you're saved or not. He left, started walking down. He told two or three people. Next thing you know, he was testifying the Lord saved him. I never had nobody saved in my arms before, but it felt pretty good. But the thing about it is, to me, it worked against the almost impossible to get them to letting him come. But God intervened. And then God kept working on him. And when he knew it was going to be his last day and he was going to have to go, he told him, like he said, he said, I'm not going home until I get saved. Buddy, isn't that good? We need to pray to the point that these lost people, they'll want to stay till they get saved. Because God's putting that power, that conviction in their heart. And I'm going to say this and I'll be done. Whose job is it to pray down the convicting power on these that are lost? It's yours and mine. It's not the pastors or the helpers. It's the church. Amen. It's the church. Are we shrugging on our duties to God? Or is God looking at us right now and saying, because of your unbelief, or is he looking at us and saying, O ye of little faith? Or should we do like the apostles did? See, he didn't just leave that at O ye of little faith, just leave it. But the apostles looked at him and said, Lord, increase our faith. So are we going to be those, one of those that just says, I don't have the faith to do it, so I just can't do it? Or are we going to be one of those that's saying, Lord, increase our faith? Are we going to go to the source? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. That's what he told church, isn't it? Amen. Why don't we believe it? Again, thank y'all for every prayer. I love y'all. Keep praying for me. I got places to go, people to preach to. And I'll say this, I try to say it everywhere I go. Sometimes if you're sitting at home, you need somebody to come over and sing to you a little while, and you want to invite three or four of your friends over, we'll just have us a good time in the Lord. Brother Miller.